Good morning, everybody. The big three headlines. The start of the week. Unrest in Minneapolis. A 20-year-old pulled over by cops for traffic violation and was shot. Of course, Minneapolis is already tinderbox with the Derek Chauvin trial going on. So there was a lot of unrest in the streets at Brooklyn Center, they call it. For a moment, Len, I thought it was here in Brooklyn, New York, but I realize it's Brooklyn Center, Minnesota suburb. There. Yeah, absolutely. So we've got to keep an eye on that. That is unfolding. Also in the big three, preparations for Prince Philip's funeral are beginning. He will be laid to rest next week. It's a long time for the body to be hanging around here. But they've got some funeral things going on in England. And Harry, Prince Harry, he was spotted on a flight from L.A. to London wearing a mask. I guess he's having to cut corners now that he's been thrown out of the royal family and doesn't get private planes and security services and all that. He's by himself on the plane going to London to attend the funeral of his grandfather. Meghan isn't going to be there, of course, under the guise or excuse that she's pregnant, but I don't think she'd go anyway. Do you, Len? I mean, she doesn't like that family. She doesn't want to be there.
I'm still, you're such a wordsmith. I mean, you know, I know why you're now, you know, a New York Times best-selling author, a great columnist. They got some funeral things going on over there. That's great. Who writes your big three? Anthony, our associate producer.
Well, we don't quite know what those things are going to be. It's not going to be a state funeral or anything like that during COVID.
We know what it's going to be.
It's
going to be a few family members. It's going to be Saturday. We know the date. We know the detail. Michael can't be bothered with the detail. They got some funeral things going on over there. Okay, good.
Well, we'll check in with
Tom
Rivers.
Are you from Brooklyn, Minnesota? Brooklyn, New York?
We'll check in with Tom Rivers, the ABC News correspondent. It's his job to know all the funeral arrangements for Prince Philip.
But it over to you, Tom.
Yeah, Tom, tell us what things are being done there. And rounding out the big three, hey, this is serious here because I'm due to get my Pfizer vaccine in a week and a half or so. Yeah. And there's questions coming out of Israel, and they've been very good with a vaccine in Israel, but they say the South African variant of the virus can break through the Pfizer vaccine. What the hell does that mean for... Now, Joe, you're a Moderna guy, right? But Len, yeah, you're a Pfizer guy.
I'm all Pfizered up.
You're all Pfizered up, Natalie, too, right? You were able to get your Pfizer vaccine. So how do you guys feel about what happens if the South African strain makes its way to Sands Point, Len?
Not happy. What do you want me to do? I'm stand outside my mailbox saying, don't come here. I mean, what am I going to do? I mean, I don't know what to do.
The thing to do is you got to ask the virus, hey, where are you from? Because if it says I'm from South Africa, then, you know, you say, hey, stay away from me, you know.
But honestly, there's this whole thing with the details of someone's medical. You can't ask a virus where they're from. I mean, you know, they can't carry a passport. It's very controversial.
I'm just glad I don't have the vaccine coming out of China that apparently doesn't work very well at all. Did you hear that?
They have a vaccine? They have a Chinese vaccine?
Yeah.
Made in China.
And it's not just being used in China either. And they're saying that maybe it's 50%, maybe, who knows?
20%. Well, you know,
what about the Russian vaccine? Do we hear anything about the Russian vaccine?
Nothing much about that one. But what the Chinese and the Russians are doing is kind of interesting. They call it vaccine diplomacy. Because the rich countries of the world are sort of hoarding the vaccine for themselves, but China and Russia, to make allies in places like Africa with those poor countries, they're giving them all these vaccines. But what happens if they don't work? I'm not going to turn you into a friend if you give them a vaccine that doesn't work. Interesting. The other thing, too, do you know what happened 60 years ago today? Let's ask Joe this, Len, because I think you saw, because I sent you the story. Do you know 60 years ago today, you know what happened, Joe?
60 years ago today, no. No. FDR died, maybe?
That's 4 years. That's 70-something years ago.
You just don't want to engage in any of our games. Tag team trivia, whatever, I don't care. By the way, tag team
trivia,
he
did. He said in his newscast that FDR, which was interesting, died on this date in 1945. My dad said he was in the Army and he cried. That's one of the only times he remembers crying was that with FDR. Of course, they learned more and more about FDR later in life, and they didn't cry as much. But at the time, he was a hero to a lot of people. My middle name is Franklin, named after that guy.
Why do you say they learned more about FDR and then he's not a hero anymore? He's still one of the great presidents.
He didn't. What's that, Michael? Joe?
Was he too liberal
for the Burmans?
No. New Deal?
I don't think, I think there are some questions about what he did about Jewish people wanting to come over on boats from the Holocaust.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's a legitimate, mm-hmm. that's a legitimate, no, well, that's a legitimate concerned because he did not. There were some Jewish people trying to get here, and he turned those boats back. You're right about that. 60 years ago today, Joe, because I know you don't care, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Yuri Gagarin.
Ask him who Yuri Gagarin is.
Who's Yuri Gagarin, Joe?
He's the first guy to go into space, a Russian
astronaut. That's right. 60 years ago today, man went into space for the first time.
Russian. A Russian.
Happened to be listening to a really interesting report on the BBC about it. And, you know, he went off into space, and then he came down in his capsule, and he parachuted out of his capsule, and he landed in a potato field. And this woman and her daughter were picking potatoes when this man in an... Now, remember, they've never seen anybody in an orange spacesuit before. And they look, and he comes floating down from the sky in an orange spacesuit, and he starts walking toward them. And the mother grabs the daughter's hands and says, "Let's get out of here." And they start to run. And the guy says, Wait a minute, ladies. I'm one of you. And the girl says, "Mom, it speaks Russian. Maybe it's human." And he removes his helmet. And the mother says, "Where did you come from?" And he says, "A ship." And she says, "There's no sea around here."
By the way, that was a big deal back then.
Oh my God!
This was before he was the Russian John Glenn.
He
orbited. I think he was the first to orbit the Earth, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, that was a big deal. I remember at the time people were really saying, "Oh my God, the Russians beat us into space," and Yuri Gagarin went around. Anyway, so that was big stuff.
Well, that also then triggered eventually the United States getting to the moon. It was all part of Kennedy saying, "We're going to get to the moon first." They got to space first, but we're going to.
I wonder if he really thought they would. I know he said that, but now. You know, when I was a kid, he said, "We're going to the moon." I went, "Oh, okay, we're going to the moon." But now that I'm an old cynic listening to people who call into this radio station, I'm wondering, did he just make that up and had no clue whether or not we could actually do it? Or did he really think we were going to do it? I'd like to know that.
Well, I mean, listen, he authorized the money and the brain power and the technology to get us there. But as you remember, we weren't sure how it was going to go because there is that speech that Richard Nixon had drafted in case you got Neil Armstrong to the moon, right? And then they couldn't get him off the moon.
Right.
And there's you can see that document's floating out there, what Nixon would have said had they not been able to get them back from the moon. So, but who knows? Anyway, momentous moment in the history of mankind's achievement in science. 60 years ago today, Yuri Gagarin orbited the Earth. So now are you...
You know, back in the day... This is interesting, Michael. Back in the day, I think we were in junior high school or something, they would pipe in the various space stuff over the loudspeaker. Like when I think Alan Shepard was the first suborbital, kind of first guy into space for the U.S. And then, of course, John Glenn, first guy to orbit the Earth. But we would sit and listen to these broadcasts on the PA system, which was really big stuff back then.
Yeah, it was exciting. Well, I mean, I remember the space shuttle, the first space shuttle. I think we were in, we would have been in high school then, and we all paused and watched it around because every classroom had a television set back then,
right.
And we watched it. And of course, sadly, when the Challenger blew up, a lot of kids, elementary school kids, were watching that because of Krista McAuliffe. She was an elementary school science teacher, right? So
New Hampshire,
In New Hampshire. And around the country had all those kids glued to the TV set watching it, and then it blew up. So that was fairly traumatic, of course, for the nation. But
I remember, in any case, I remember being in my doctor's office. I mean, this is how long ago it is. And you know, they used to have all the space shots live.
Yeah, sure.
And they play them live on national television. I remember doctor turning to me and saying, "Well, there's a space shot going up, but you know what? I'll see the tape later on the news." And I don't know, it just struck me at the time, like, oh, okay. I mean, I was like, now we take all that stuff for granted. But back then, it was a big deal.
Well, I remember exactly where I was when the Challenger blew up. I was in Baltimore then, and I was walking down the street in front of an appliance store, and they had 20 television sets in the window, and all of us gathered around the store window to watch the Challenger take off on those 20 television sets. And then if you remember... The strange thing after the explosion, but we didn't know there was an explosion, but what was odd was that the plume of the exhaust coming out of it, all of a sudden it split like into a Y shape. And you thought, that's not good. That's not what it's supposed to do.
I was,
right?
I was in a rental car, and I was there in Boston for a Big East basketball game to call the game, and I'm listening on the radio. I went to visit a friend of mine. I'm listening to this on the radio, which was even scarier because there's this long silence, and you wonder what the hell's going on, and then you realize exactly what was going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh, kind of chilling still after all these years. But on the better note, 60 years ago today, Yuri Gagarin, first man to enter space. And later on in the program, we'll be playing more trivia questions with Joe Bartlett because we know his enthusiasm for those kind
Joe
of games.
Joe loves this stuff. That's why you've heard right, him Joe? Yammering away. You can't get him to shut up. That's why he's been yammering away the whole.
He's so excited about playing these games with us, aren't you, Joe?
Oh, can't wait. Bring it on, Michael.
Okay. But up next, hey, more businesses are opening up in our area, but we've got this concern that the South African strain of the virus could penetrate the Pfizer vaccine. Are we due for another lockdown if we get that virus? That's next.
UOR. So if you weren't with us in the last segment, I don't know why not, Michael had a trivia question for Joe Bartlett about Yuri Gagarin 60 years ago today. He was the Russian cosmonaut, first one to go into space and first one to orbit the Earth. And Joe just had no interest whatsoever because Joe doesn't like trivia very much. And he has to host our tag team trivia, and he's glad he doesn't have to answer the questions. Anyway, got an email from our buddy Russo, Michael, and he said, here's the email. Joey Bartlett should be the new Jeopardy host. He has tag team trivia to put on his resume, which I think is great. Perfect sense.
Can you see Joe going, Yuri Gagarin? And then they say, who was the first man on the moon? Yeah, close enough. Whatever. It's in the ballpark. You're right.
It's in space.
Well, Michael, your question to me was, what happened 60 years ago today? I mean, a lot of things happened.
Well, I know, but Joe,
what else happened 60 years ago today?
Category.
Well, no.
Category.
Joe, I'm just telling you, if you were monitoring the news on various channels this morning, as I was to prepare for the show, you would have heard the mention that.
But Joe was doing the news. Joe was doing the news from 5 to 6. How could he monitor the news?
Well, I noticed in other newscasts that this was a big part of the newscast, 60, and I was kind of thinking, I wonder why Joe didn't have it in there.
Joe didn't. Joe doesn't care.
Just to know.
Good. So,
brilliant, Michael. Brilliant.
Friday night around dinner time, Michael gets this text from my phone.
Oh my God.
And the text reads, okay, I will get a hold of me and I can do it tomorrow morning. And I can do it tomorrow morning, and I can do it tomorrow morning. Then he gets a second text moments later. I can do it tomorrow, and I can do it tomorrow morning, and I can do it tomorrow morning, and I can.
So
Michael responds.
I turned to Christina, and I said, I think Len is having a stroke. I said, Len may be stroking out on us, because he's trying to text me something, but it's all garbage and gobbledygook.
Well,
so I wrote back, hello.
Hello. And I messaged back. It was from my 2.5-year-old grandson, and it made perfect sense to me. And he'll be 3 in June. Gets a hold of my phone. I don't have no idea how he texts these words. It's not a voice thing. He just, I guess he starts, I don't know, just autocorrect or autospell or whatever, and it just sends you a message. And, the funny thing was, about a few minutes later, we're having dinner, and all of a sudden, this little kid pipes up and said, I sent a message to Michael Riedel. I mean, he has no idea. He has no idea who you are. None.
He doesn't, really? Doesn't he listen to the radio?
No. He doesn't have any idea who you are. Jeez.
And did you ask him, don't do that?
No, I thought it was great.
I swear to God, Joe, you should have seen this crazy message. And I really said to Chris, I think Len's having a stroke. I was going to call your wife. Go into the den, check up on him. Go into the den, make sure he's okay.
It was funny. Hey, so the COVID news of the day, and there's news every day. So the New York City 4-case rule takes effect today. Up until now, if 2 kids in a school had coronavirus and they would shut the school down, well, now it's up to 4 cases. So that's going to be a big deal, I guess. Newark classrooms open for the first time in more than a year. But I think, is this hybrid, Nat? It's not every kid's going to Newark schools today, right?
I'm going to assume, I'll go check that out, but I'm going to assume it's a high flex situation where almost every school is still in. I can't imagine going from zero to 100 in a day. But can you imagine not having stepped into a classroom in a year? I mean, I know what's going on in LA. I mean, I'm thankful that my kid has been in some form almost every week, but to never go for a year.
Full year. Wow. It's tough, and some kids can handle it, and some kids can't. I mean, it depends on the kid. You know, some kids can handle the virtual classes great and love it and eat it up, and some kids are just zoned out.
I mean,
and
I was going to say, you know, the anxiety in August when you have to go back and you've only been gone for like 2 months.
Right?
Could you imagine what those kids must be feeling like right now?
I got to say though, there was a really blistering. Did you see this joke? Because I knew you checked the New York Post. There was a blistering editorial about the teachers' union in the Post over the weekend. And I thought, man, that's making some good points. The places that are not going back to school are where the unions are really powerful, such as in New York and in California. And I was talking to someone, I'm not going to say who this person is, but a friend of ours who is a teacher, and she's quite eager to go back. She's a very conscientious person. But she said, I got to be honest with you. She said, most of my colleagues, they don't want to be around those, they call them brats anymore. They don't want to have to deal with their personal problems, their issues. They love working from home. All they have to do is deliver the lecture. And then if there's behavioral problems, it falls to the parents to worry about it. They don't have to worry about it. They want to prolong this as long as
I wonder they're friends with you, Michael. You have a real magnanimous approach towards kids too. You love to deal with their problems.
No, I'm just, but I'm saying the teachers are paid to deal with the kids, and you've got a lot of them who are saying, we don't want to go back. I mean, I think that's criminal. I really do. I think it's terrible. Don't you, Joe? I mean, Len doesn't seem to care, you know, but I think it's awful.
You know what? I mean, people have to go to the grocery store, first respond. You know, everybody has to go to work. And I think it's important that kids get back to school, and I think it's important that teachers be there as well.
Absolutely.
And I think it's important for Joe to do the news at 6:30. Good morning, Joe.
Okay, Len, let's get it. Protests and looting outside of Minneapolis overnight after police shot a black man. Cops tried to arrest this guy for an outstanding warrant, then shot him as he tried to drive away. It happened in the city of Brooklyn Center. The police chief there, John Harrington, says a couple hundred people gathered outside the police headquarters.
We saw rocks and other objects thrown at the police department. There were reports of shots fired in the area of the police department.
Now, this happened in a suburb of Minneapolis, not far from where the trial of former police officer Derek Chauvin will continue today. Going to be a big drop in the availability of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine this week. Supplies are down 85%. Millions of doses, of course, were contaminated at a Baltimore plant by human error. Pharmacy executive Desi Kotas says it's going to be a setback.
Disappointing because we've been told for many months that, oh, don't worry, by mid-April, you will have as much vaccine as you need, and that's not the case.
It's not clear just how long this shortage is going to continue. As Len mentioned, kids back in the school in Newark, they're going into the classroom for the first time in more than a year. A hybrid model, students only go into class 2 days a week, and the four-case rule takes effect in New York City. That means there's got to be four students coming up positive with coronavirus before school is shut down. President Biden meeting with a bipartisan group of lawmakers today to talk about infrastructure. Congress returns to work for the first time since Biden unveiled his $2 trillion plan. White House says the president is willing to compromise with Republicans, but he says this needs to get done. Republicans upset with the price tag also claim that much of the spending has nothing to do with infrastructure. In fact, of the $2 trillion, $115 billion is what will be spent for roads and bridges. The other portion is the new infrastructure, according to Democrats. And finally here, Hideki Matsuyama's win at the Masters was quite lucrative. First of all, it was historic, the first Japanese golfer to win a major title. In addition to his green jacket and a gold coin and a trophy, he got a $2 million check. Not a bad weekend's work. The purse for the Masters was $11.5 million. How about this? A second-place finisher, Will Zalatoris. This guy's, I think this is only like his first or second time on a tour. Yeah. He got $1.2 million for coming in second. Yeah.
Yeah, when you consider what Palmer and Nicklaus made in purses their entire career, this guy got $1 million just to finish in second place this year.
Yeah, and my buddy Jordan Spieth, he tied for third with Xander Schauffele. They each got $667,000.
I thought the tournament, it was kind of dull. I mean, it was a half a second when Schauffele was making a run at Matsuyama, but then he put the ball in the drink at the 16 and it was over. But that was kind of, you know, they interview Matsuyama when it's over, and you expect him to be all excited through the interpreter, and the whole country of Japan is watching. And they asked him how he felt. He said, "Yeah, pretty good." Yeah,
I know it. He was like half asleep in the interview. It's funny. Mm.
Yeah. Do you guys know? Is that green jacket made out of polyester? Do you know what the fabric is for the green jacket?
Probably is. I don't know.
Yeah, probably. I
mean, polyester for the Masters. You think they'd at least be
what,
wool or
Shetland wool? I don't know. It's in hot weather in Georgia.
They wear it twice, probably, really.
Joe, get on that. Michael wants to know what they make the green jacket out of, okay?
Yeah.
Can you have it for us maybe by 7:30?
Another trivia question from Michael Riedel.
7:30, we want it.
Yeah, Joe. Find the answer. Thanks. Right.
Coming up next. Well, here we go again. Police in a Minneapolis suburb shoot and kill a black man at a traffic stop. And yes, there were protests overnight. It's all coming up.
Hey, let's talk about Bosch IDS family. Best-in-class heat pumps that come with a complete and highly efficient dual-fuel heating and cooling system. Bosch IDS family has three systems, okay? IDS Lite, IDS Plus, and IDS Premium. The performance of Bosch IDS family provides maximum comfort with minimum energy usage. Talk to an HVAC contractor to find out the best IDS system for you. Go to www.boschheatingandcooling.com to find a contractor near you and learn more about Bosch IDS family. So we had the Masters over the weekend, and I was curious about that green jacket, what it's made out of. It doesn't look like the fanciest coat in the world to me. It looks like polyester. And I mean, who's going to wear a green jacket? I mean, maybe you wear it on St. Patrick's Day, right? But would you wear a green jacket to a dinner party in May or something like that?
No.
Joe, would you? You know, maybe on the Blarney Day.
I would, yeah.
Well, you know, golfers wear those goofy, you know, they used to wear these goofy colors. Some of them still do. But I guess if there's a cocktail party at your club after the charity golf tournament, you could throw that on. But I don't know.
Yeah. Well, so Joe,
buy these things on Amazon, believe it or not.
You can buy a green jacket, a Masters jacket.
Yeah.
So anyway, you found out what it's made out of. What is it made out of?
Yes. Wool and polyester. Originally, they were all wool, but didn't go over well when you had to wear them in April, so now it's wool polyester. The other thing, too, is with Matsuyama, the one he got yesterday was just a regular jacket. In a week or so, it will be custom fitted for him, and he gets to take it home for 1 year. After that, it has to stay at Augusta. You can only wear it when you go to Augusta. And
really?
By the way, one other little Masters jacket piece of trivia. One guy was able to take it for a lot longer than the 1 year. Billy Casper. He was buried in his.
Oh, that's
they
a
gave
thrill.
The special permission to be buried to be in it.
Really?
Yeah, really. He needed permission.
It probably's held up pretty well. He probably hasn't, but if you were to dig him up, I bet the jacket's still in good shape.
Where's he buried, Joe?
Come on, Len.
I'm just a
trivia question.
No, I'm just surprised that people haven't got after that. That's
under
that's
the ground.
Quite an artifact to know about.
That's true, actually. That's true. That's a good point, Len.
Well, look, believe it or not, when I was looking this up, there's the Tiger Woods jacket, green jacket, is on sale at Etsy for $9,499 if you want to buy it.
No, well,
I don't think it's the actual jacket.
It's not his jacket. I thought you said the jacket has to be left at Augusta.
Well, maybe somebody snuck it out. I don't know.
Must be a recreation or something.
See, Joe, you started with good clarity in this little.
Yeah, now he has no idea what he's talking about.
Now you've muddled it all up.
Well, I'm just telling you, the Masters green jacket, Tiger Woods, Arnold Palmer, 38 Masters champions. Oh, I signed it. So it's signed.
Good going, Joe. I love it when he gets the details of a story. That's our newsman.
Well, it's in there. I got to it eventually.
Got to it eventually.
Takes him a while, but
that's why you have a whole hour of news at 5. By the time he gets to the detail of the story, the
newscast is over. All right, so we had some unrest in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, yesterday. A 20-year-old black man died after a police officer shot him during a traffic stop in the Minneapolis suburb of Brooklyn Center, and hundreds of people were out in the streets.
Bad location, bad everything.
I know. Hundreds of people in the streets clashing with police. Pretty tense stuff there. Now, this, of course, is taking place against the backdrop of the trial of Derek Chauvin. He's the former Minneapolis police officer who's been charged with murdering George Floyd. So, people are on edge there in Minneapolis, Len. But
All right, let's listen. This is John Harrington. He's the police commissioner of Brooklyn Center. Let's listen to some of him, and then we'll touch on the trial for a minute, Michael.
By the time the BCA responded, there were reports of in the area of around 100 or so people at the scene that were highly agitated.
And if you're wondering what BCA meant, that's the I looked it up because I know Joe wouldn't. Bureau of Criminal Apprehension is the BCA there, so that's what that meant. Here's... How you doing, Joe? Here's some more of Harrington.
Shortly thereafter, there were reports of crowds, 100 to 200, that were marching toward the Brooklyn Center Police Department.
Okay. And they had a, you know, they called out the National Guard.
We saw rocks and other objects thrown at the police department. There were reports of shots fired in the area of the police department.
Yeah, this is just, my God, if you're going to pick one area. I guess there was an incident also in Virginia involving an army guy in he was in fatigues or his uniform, and they stopped him and wound up spraying something at him, and it was another guy had to resign.
Not stop people now, Len?
Well, I you know
no, I didn't say that.
No, no,
I didn't say that. But they had Joe.
Yeah,
but they had video of the whole thing, and this guy was he just asked, "Why am I being stopped?"
Joe,
it really got out of hand.
Joe, listen, I'm a cop now. I don't stop anybody. No way.
Yeah.
Nope. Don't interfere with a crime. If it's some sort of speeding thing, a guy's driving recklessly, don't just look the other way. You can't get in trouble for not doing anything. No one will ever
I think
know.
Your guys are wrong.
Cops
just do your job. If a guy is wearing his army uniform and says, listen, I'm an army guy, why am I being stopped? Don't be belligerent. Why does a cop have to be a big shot and a wise guy? Why can't he just say, you're being stopped because of this, that, or the other thing?
Why can't he say that? What about all these mass shooters who wear their army fatigues? Some guy walked around in army fatigue with a gun. You're going to say, "Hey, what's up?"
No, that's totally different. Now you're off the wall as usual. Now you're making no sense, but that's good. That's good.
Also,
it only took you 46 minutes into the show to babble incoherently, Michael.
But it's true, though. I mean, we don't know anything about this 20-year-old kid being shot there. We don't know anything. Why he was stopped or anything like that. And
you're
people
right.
are already rioting. They don't know the situation. Yeah. And by the way, the real chilling thing was, you must have seen this horrible video, Joe, over the weekend of the policeman stopping the drug dealer
who then
gets out with the AKA and blows the guy apart. Horrible.
That was awful.
That was terrible.
Where was that? I didn't see that. Where was that?
It was down in, I think it was down in, by the border, I think.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure where it happened. I saw the video, and it's just brutal. The guy just gets out of his car. The cop is walking, on one side. He gets out with his AR-15, and boom, just unloads on him. Then after he shot him, from the other side of the car, he walked over to him and shot him again.
Jesus. Jeez. Unbelievable. Terrible. I feel sorry for our men in uniform. They deserve all our support, I think. Maybe not Derek Chauvin, but most of the other ones do. All right, up next, hey, this is interesting. A mysterious power cut at a nuclear power plant in Iran has people pointing the finger at Israel. We're going to check in with Jordana Miller, ABC News correspondent in Jerusalem. This sounds to me like Tehran, that great Apple TV series I was watching, where they're cutting the power in Iranian nuclear power plants. Very murky business going on there. We'll get the latest when we get back.
It's warming up outside, and it's time to start visiting those we care about again. Some of us may not have the smile that we had hoped for, and maybe you have some teeth missing, or you're unhappy with your current dentures. Get the smile you deserve. Park 40 can help you regain your confidence and get you smiling from ear to ear with a complimentary consultation. There's nothing to lose. Park 40 is your premier dental implant center, offering a range of trusted solutions, giving you back your ability to eat normally and smile again. Call the Park 40 team today, 646 646- 833-4040 with a state-of-the-art lab on site and everything all under one roof. They make it easy. They're located right on the corner of 40th and Park next to Grand Central. Call Park 40 today for your free consultation, free x-rays, or CT scan at 646-733-4040. That's 646-733-4040. Get your smile back. Get back to life with Park 40. Call today. Tell them that Len sent you. So this story got Michael very excited. This is the real spy versus spy stuff. So all of a sudden the power goes out at the nuclear power plant in Iran, and they're blaming Israel. And Michael said, aha, it's the show Tehran on TV.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the same plot?
Yes, this is an amazing show. You can get it on Apple TV, and I think it's very popular in Israel. It's about a woman, female agent. She sneaks into Iran, and she's got to cut the power at a nuclear plant so the Israelis can bomb it. But things go wrong, and then she winds up being by herself, having to survive in Tehran as a secret Israeli agent. Oh, it's great. Great show. Great show.
Well, let's check in with Jordana Miller, our favorite correspondent in Jerusalem for ABC News. Jordana, is Michael right? Is this a big series in Israel? And does he have the plot correct?
I mean, Tehran is very, very popular here, you know, almost as much as Fauda. Definitely a huge hit because it, you know, fuels the imagination about these incredible spy stories. And it looks like today's headline, you know, may fuel future stories. You know, even though no Israeli official here from the prime minister on down, you know, will take credit for this attack on Iran's Natanz nuclear facility, I will say this is the first time that I can remember in many years of reporting here that the military censor is being very liberal with local journalists who are saying they believe this was Israel, which tells you that Israel wants the Iranians, the Americans, everyone to know they did this. They somehow smuggled a bomb into Natanz, into the most sophisticated kind of heart of the system, blew it up and destroyed dozens of centrifuges and set back the program at least 9 months is what some experts believe. It could be longer. And they don't want to, Israelis don't want to, these officials here don't want to say it, but clearly there's an effort here for many people here to say it was Israel without the military censor coming down on them, which is rare. So it's a different scene this time around.
So, Jordana, I'm just wondering, sort of a bigger picture thing here. We know that the Biden administration wants to, you know, have those accords with Iran again, wants to, you know, have conversations with Iran about a nuclear treaty. And I just wonder if this is Bibi Netanyahu's way of saying to Biden, you can have all the little talks with Iran you want, but you're never going to stop us from preventing them from getting the nuclear bomb.
I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I think Netanyahu, you know, on the very, you know, the timing of this is not a coincidence. You know, the explosion went off literally as the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, had just landed in Israel for this two-day visit. And shortly, the two of them are going to be meeting, Netanyahu and Austin. They're going to sit down. This is already going to be a tense meeting because Netanyahu opposes the U.S. efforts by the Biden administration to reengage Iran, to rejoin, to save the Iran nuclear deal. Netanyahu thinks it's a disaster. And now, just a day before, Netanyahu, you know, allegedly, of course, he oversees all of these operations, you know, went and greenlit an operation that basically said to the Americans, we're going to do whatever we're going to do. And
good for Israel. That's what I say.
No deal. No deal is going to stop us. And here's just a little taste of it.
Good for Israel.
Jordana Miller, ABC News correspondent in Jerusalem. Hey, Jordana, since we have you on the line, there's a lot of talk this weekend about how the Israelis are saying the Pfizer vaccine may be not so hot against the South African variants. I mean, that's a little scary for us.
It is really scary. I actually reported on that yesterday for ABC, and it is scary. The lead researcher basically said the good news is that this variant, the South African variant, doesn't pass from person to person with anything like the frequency of either the original COVID-19 or the British version. So it doesn't transmit as quickly, but it is a danger because even people who had the second shot of Pfizer, right, and were fully inoculated, so to speak, still got this version of the illness. Now, you know, it didn't cause death, but people were still sick. So it seems to be a bit of a blind spot. And most interesting, Pfizer had said that it fully protects against the South African variant in trials they did. But of course, Israel's a real lab country, so they're going to have to work on that. There'll probably be a booster.
All right. Thanks, Jordana. Always great to hear from you, Jordana Miller, ABC News in Jerusalem.
Bye-bye.
Fun talking. Bye, guys.
Okay. Coming up next, this is good. We're going to be joined by defense attorney Jeffrey Lichtman. You know he's going to torch somebody. Plus, we invite you to stick around for your chance to be $1,000 richer. It's coming up right after the news. It's now 7 o'clock.